Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cameron Black, as we get set to talk sports and other things on this beautiful, sweet Monday edition of Talk Sports. How are you, Cody Mack?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well today, John. It's good to be here and good to be anywhere in our fair city. March the 20th, 3:20, 1 month away from the most annoying day of the year.
Oh, okay.
4:20, just 1 month away. Ooh, you got a cookie.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love cookies.
Yep.
Why do you have the small one?
I didn't want the big one. The big one's too big. Small one's nice, little 80-cent treat.
The big one's so good, though.
Yeah.
They have those huge chunks of chocolate in it.
Yeah, that's too much. I didn't want to.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot.
Yeah, I just wanted a little small one. I wouldn't feel bad if I just get a little small one.
When I go there, I gorge myself.
Yeah.
I get the giant sub, too. Have you ever eaten the giant sub?
No, I can't imagine.
It's so big.
Yeah.
It's so big.
I literally can't imagine eating the giant
sub. Even I have trouble finishing it.
You eat it in one sitting?
Yeah. Well, of course, yeah.
It's kind of sicko.
Yeah, it's very gluttonous, but it's hard to do. But once you get to a certain point, there's no return.
Yeah.
It's like...
I don't have enough to save type of thing.
Yeah, I've eaten 80% of it. I'm going to scarf the rest of it down, and then I'm going to wash that down with one of those giant cookies. And this, my friend, is the difference in 3:30 and 2:30.
I guess so.
Or 3:45 and
2:38,
to whatever it is. I don't think I'm 3:45. I did good yesterday. I ate at the new Mediterranean place.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, I don't think it's new.
Well, now this guy eats.
I don't think it's new.
Yeah.
Well,
now this,
this wasn't a this guy eats type of thing. This was healthy food. Cava. Do you know? Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Cava. Cava.
I'm not a pronunciation
guy. Cave. I don't think it's that. Cava.
Anyways, where are we going with this?
C-A-V-A. Very good, fresh Mediterranean cuisine.
Today's not Friday. It's not This Guy Eats.
This is not a This Guy Eats.
Well, I know. We don't need an update on where you eat lunch or dinner.
Well, what do you want me to talk about?
If you're done with your weekend spiel, I mean, just what you ate just seems a little...
I think everyone wants to know what I ate.
Only on Fridays. I think the only time people care about what you eat is when it is preceded by that 4-minute intro. I think right now people are like, why the hell is this guy telling us he ate at Cava? Who cares?
Well, what do
balls
you think?
Are in the Sweet 16.
What do you think they want to know? Well, they already know that.
Well, yeah, but I think they want to discuss that. Did you have anything?
Well, you know, typically, I don't know if you know how the show works, but the first segment we spend blabbering gibberish and
typically
ridiculous nonsense
typically.
And nothing that matters. And, and then you say, what's the second segment? You say, what's the story of the day? And I say, oh, probably the fact that we're going to the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Yeah, just our typical blabbering nonsense is it, well, I went and ate Mediterranean for lunch yesterday.
Well, what would you like to blabber about? How was your weekend?
Cam.
How was your weekend?
Cam, how was your weekend? Where did you eat lunch yesterday?
It was pretty sweet yesterday.
Did you eat some pizza rolls, make a sandwich?
I actually did eat pizza rolls yesterday.
It's
but
lunch
you?
Hour. Sometimes people want a recommendation.
You weren't giving them a recommendation. You were just telling them. You said... I literally said this isn't a this guy eats. Well, I'm not really promoting them. So like, you're not giving them a recommendation. You're just filling them up
to
speed.
But if I start talking about hummus, maybe somebody would be driving around. They'd be like, oh, I'd like some hummus.
Yeah. Anyways, Cam, back to your weekend before COVID.
Yeah, good weekend, obviously. It was pretty sweet. I enjoyed myself. I enjoyed the basketball. I had a good time with it. A
lot of basketball.
Had a nice Sunday off just to savor that and enjoy that.
So it is true. I did watch a lot of basketball. I did notice that we haven't really had to do that in a while because every time Tennessee loses in the tournament, I usually just quit
stop
the tournament.
Watching.
Yeah. At least for like the rest of the weekend. Maybe I'll circle back around at some point. But to be locked in and still paying so much attention.
It's a nice feeling.
Feels nice. This tournament's pretty fun. Whenever you're still alive and you still see that T.
Never doubted
up.
Rick Barnes. I never did. Never doubted Rick.
Now, Cam, we have months and months of evidence that says otherwise.
But I changed my tune before the tournament started.
You didn't change your tune. You picked Tennessee. We call that hedging your bets.
That's I did some soul searching.
You didn't change your tune, and you spent months and months, and so did Cody, months and months, and so did I saw Jake trying to do the ha-ha-ha. John could drag me through the mud after how they acted for months and months and months. So
don't pull me down with those people. I was positive 85% of the
That's not true.
85% of the year I was positive.
That's not true.
I got
at all.
A little down when we lost,
you said
six
Duke was
going to
kick our ass. You said Louisiana.
Whoa,
was
when did I say that?
I don't know. I feel like you said it last week.
I don't think I said that.
I feel like I've just been right
like
about
Louisiana
everything.
Louisiana was what?
Dangerous. We're going to struggle against Louisiana.
Dangerous. That doesn't mean I said we're going to lose. I thought we'd win round one.
We all know Rick Barnes in March. He made the jokes for 2 months and losing the first round, losing the first weekend. We heard
there was a lot of data.
We heard you say it for months and months and months.
I didn't do it. I was, you're not going to group me with these Miller types.
You're one step above.
No. I was.
You
positive.
Are in their club.
I was with you 80% of the year.
Until Tennessee lost, and then you're out.
Yeah, we lost five.
Every time we lost, we were terrible.
No.
I believe just on Thursday, wasn't he saying, "I'm so ready for Rick Barnes' era just to be over"?
That was just me.
This guy also picked Duke in his bracket.
Picked Duke in his bracket.
I did lose a Final Four team.
Yeah, he picked Duke in the Final Four. Yeah.
Missing two Final Four teams
they
already?
They were hot. Yeah, but my champion's still alive. A lot of people can't say that.
Actually.
Who's your champion?
Houston.
I'd say a lot of people can still say their champion's still alive. Because, pretty much you only lost Kansas, people, right? I guess some people maybe had Zona. Kansas and Arizona. There'd be some Purdue's, but I don't think many people
Duke.
Pick Purdue. Yeah, I guess if you pick Duke to win the championship, you got really fooled by the national media if you pick Duke.
Or you watched them win 10 straight and knew they were hot going into March.
Yeah, but then you failed to realize that a lot of those were against like the Louisville's and Florida States of the world and how bad the ACC is.
Still 10 wins in a row. It's a better league than most leagues.
It's right in the middle probably this year. Even like taking, the group fives into account. Or not the group fives, the mid majors.
Anyway, they have these lamb meatballs that are really good, and the pita is fresh. It's warm pita. They give you warm pita with your bowl. Everything's so fresh.
I feel like everywhere has warm pita. You keep always sounding like surprised by like pita being warm. I feel like pita's supposed to be warm.
Maybe I just discovered warm pita not long ago.
Yeah, I think pita. When I hear pita, I assume it's going to be warm.
Well, sometimes you get that hard pita chip.
Yeah.
I don't really like that.
The chip? No, yeah.
I'm more of a fluffy pita guy.
Yeah, I feel like the
you
breads.
You eat a lot of pitas?
No, not a lot. In my day, I've had a couple pitas, but I feel like I always Pita. Assume they're going to be warm. But maybe that's just me. I don't know. Maybe
speaking of warm, I got warm coffee today.
Wow.
Whoa.
What a segue.
I got a cold.
Only one?
I have a cold brew in the fridge.
Oh, okay.
But just warm coffee today. This is cheaper than getting the cold brew.
Yeah.
The nitro brew is like $5 a cup, and this is like still overpriced, but it's like $2.50.
Just cutting back.
That damn Starbucks.
Yeah, they got me by the balls.
Yeah.
They sure do. Yeah.
Big Coffee's got his claws right into your side.
I thought what I might start doing is buying cold brew in the jugs. I noticed in the grocery store they have it where you can just buy it in a jug now.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it'd be as good.
I'm sure it wouldn't, but you'd probably save $100 a week.
Well, that's
or every 2 weeks probably.
Yeah, I have a $400 a month coffee bill.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not quite that much, but I don't know. Maybe not far off.
So Cam, you had a good weekend?
Yeah. I can't complain. How about yourself?
The only downside, I got really mad at the Hawks yesterday for blowing that game against the Spurs. But whatever. They are what they are this year. They stink. But the college basketball is fun. Really, the only team that's let me down so far in the tournament has been Kentucky. And I never was able to do like the emotional hedge with my team. You know how a lot of people like pick against their team and they're happy to be wrong guy? Like, I'm just going to bash the team and pick against them. But if I'm wrong, I'll be happy to be wrong because I still get to win that way too. Like it's a brilliant move. Like if either I'm proven right by the team losing and I get to pretend like I'm not sad, or I get to like be like, oh, I'm happy celebrating with everybody else. Yeah, we did it. I can never do that picking against my team and like still like feeling like I'm happy. I can pick against my team and it doesn't make me happy.
Yeah.
If they lose or I'm right or whatever. But I haven't realized that I lost a lot of money on Kentucky, a lot of potential money. It's the only one of my I kept telling you I kept putting those parlays in. Kentucky sucked me.
Yeah, they got me too.
But I found myself saying, you know what? It's all right because it's really funny Kentucky lost. And I really didn't want to play Kentucky in the Elite Eight. So I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'll sacrifice the money to laugh at Kentucky and be happy that they
That was kind of nice.
Gagged that game away and that they're not standing between us and our first Final Four. So the emotional hedge may work.
What, are you scared of Kentucky?
You know, I wasn't necessarily scared of Kentucky.
I was.
But I do think that Kentucky, and what I was telling my friend is, like, I think Kentucky, it would have been the one team, especially in our bracket, mm-hmm. our region, that you can't feel like you can punk.
Well, and you feel like maybe you roll the dice against a couple teams you haven't played as opposed to the team that's beaten you twice.
Well, and Kentucky, like, they you know, basketball is
a team a third time.
It's really not. But basketball is a matchup sport. And I know we didn't have Josiah and Phillips, but, like, they're big on the front line, and that just would have been a rebounding, you know, that would have been very stressful. I think Tennessee could have beaten them full strength, or at least full strength minus Sakai, but I just didn't want to roll that dice. So I was okay with them losing, plus laughing at them for not even making the Sweet 16, and they're probably kicking themselves because they feel like they would have had such an easy path against Michigan State, and then either FAU or Tennessee, a team they've beaten twice. So
at least they finally got a win. Told you guys Friday they hadn't even gotten a win in 4 years.
Yep. First win since 2019.
At least they got a tournament win.
Got to keep waiting to get to the second weekend. That was I thought they should be ashamed of themselves for the way they gagged that game. But it's the only Elite Eight team I lost, Cam. 7 of 8. I said my goal was 5 of 8.
Nice.
Got 7 of 8 Elite Eight teams. Got all 4 of my Final Four teams left.
As do I.
So I feel like I'm in pretty solid shape. I'm happy with where things are standing with the bracket. And, again, the only one that let me down was Kentucky, and I can live with that,
I guess. I was doing some math, and I think if Alabama loses in the next 2 weeks and Houston wins the title, I'm going to win that bracket pool.
Charlie's bracket pool?
Yeah.
How many teams do you have in the Sweet 16?
What did I say I didn't do as well in the Sweet 16? I was doing good until yesterday. I didn't do very good yesterday. Let me see. Where are these at right here? Okay, so Houston. All right, so 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10. 10 and 16. Mm. I said I wanted what? 11 Sweet 16? I think I said I just wanted them alive, but 10 Sweet 16, 7 Elite 8, I can live with that.
I got 9 and 6, I think.
9 and 6? I take it, Cody, you got more than 10?
You serious?
Oh.
I have 7.
Oh. Well, the way you asked, I thought you were setting me up to be like, oh, well, I got 11. No.
He was talking so high and mighty after his 2-0 start.
He was 6-0.
My bad.
Did you go 14-2 the first day, or am I making that up? Didn't you have a really good first day?
I did good first day. Second day, things went south. Third day, fourth day, they went further south. I lost a lot of teams.
Final Four still intact, and that makes me so happy.
I told you I put that parlay in.
I did too.
I wish I would have put more on it, but we're still alive for our Final Four parlay, 10 to win 7,300. I wish I'd have put 50 on it to win like 35,000, but.
Well, the likelihood, though, you know.
I don't know, man.
Gonzaga, Tennessee, like, and then who else you got?
Creighton and Houston. Like, Creighton gets Princeton next round, so, like, I think Creighton's going to be in the Elite Eight, and they're 10-point favorites in their Sweet 16 game, so. It's still a long shot. I'm still not, you know, counting that money yet, but I'm just saying it's. I feel pretty good about Tennessee and Creighton, and I think Houston's the best team in their region.
We have the same game. Final Four, don't we?
Yeah, that potential game against.
What do you know?
Texas.
Groupthink.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to come down to us in the bracket pools, what it seems like. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, basically, it might come down to Gonzaga versus Houston. Watching them at the end of the night last night, they played such a pretty style of basketball, and Drew Timmy is just such a joy to watch. One of the worst beats of all time, though, if you had Gonzaga minus 4, 4.5, or 5 last night. Did you guys see the end of that game?
Yep.
No.
They're up 7. TCU hits a 3 to cut it to 4. You're like, oh, my God, I just lost. But then they foul. You're like, yes, they foul. There's like 0.7 seconds left. We get the foul. Their guy goes up and hits 2 free throws. You're up 6. You're like, yes, we did it. And then TCU rolls the ball all the way to the front court. you know, that thing where they throw it in and the guy doesn't touch it. It rolls all the way to about 5 feet, 5 feet behind the 3-point line. The guy picks up a .7, just chucks it in. It goes in. They lose by 3. And you see, like, Texas, you see TCU fans in the crowd cheering because they cover the spread. Like, and even this player kind of celebrated, like, as if he had some action on it, too. I don't know. But that was the end of the first weekend of March Madness, and it felt pretty fitting. We'll dive into the big story here locally. Lady Vols, Toledo, coming up next. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
I'm in that 745. Hope I can come scoop you up round 745. Slide round with my drop top up or down, you down the right. Looked into my eyes and told me, Daddy, show you right.
All right, Tennessee, Sweet 16. An absolute dismantling of Duke. Absolute dismantling. The physical, tougher team. It was annoying watching the game at Craven Wings whenever it starts, and like two of the first four plays are Uros gooning it up and being dumb. But I do think, with the benefit of hindsight, it did send a message that like the team is here to be physical, and like it was grown men against like young freshmen.
Yep.
And just letting them play football out there. It was like a football game.
It was awesome.
One of the worst officiated games I've ever seen. Duke really caught a bad break on the officiating, I thought. It's horrible.
Well, you know, I know you're being facetious, and like that's been like the talking points following the game.
How do you know?
I think that like the refs called the fouls. It's not like they like let them go. Like the plays we're talking about in Uros got called. One of them, the first one with the elbow, like it was dumb, but it wasn't necessarily malicious. It was a little bit of a flop, and like Duke was doing some flopping around. But also, like, if you were going to drive to the paint, you were going to be met with some contact.
They let us bump and grind a little.
We did. And, you know, Tennessee. And, like, after the game, whenever Uros lays it out as simple as he can, you're like, oh, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. He's basically like, I made the decision I wasn't going to let a bunch of freshmen in my college career.
You're like, I do love that.
You're like, yeah, I guess that makes sense when you consider Tennessee's got a whole bunch of upperclassmen and like they're grown men who have gone through some wars and they like are battle tested and they're like, again, young grown men, not 18, 19 year old boys.
Yep.
So it makes sense whenever you say, no, I'm going to take it personal. I'm not letting these kids in my career. Not happening. And you do come out. And again, it was annoying watching Uros make some boneheaded plays, but I do think, again, with the benefit of hindsight, it set the tone from an early jump, and for the sure. Refs called some fouls, but for the most part, they weren't calling ticky-tack stuff, and Duke got rattled. And, like, I've been begging for that three-headed wing monster, the defensive monster of, you know, Meshack, Phillips, and Josiah out there together, mm-hmm. And, like, when they were out there, man, like, Duke could not get to the rim. And if they did get to the rim, they were met with by Jonas Adu, and they were not scoring when Jonas was in the paint. Stats by Will broke it down for a shot to him. With Jonas Adu on the floor, he played 24 minutes. Duke scored 26 points. Well, they scored 26 points in the 16 minutes he was off the court. So, like, he held them to the same thing, 8 minutes, you know, more of action.
Well, stats by Cody will tell you Duke scored just 52 points in the loss to Tennessee, tied for the fewest ever NCAA tournament game in the program's history. This is Duke we're talking about. This is a blue blood.
And that's a lot of tournament games for Duke, too. It's not like it's a one or two game sample size. They've played in a lot of tournament games.
52, their lowest output ever in a loss.
And I got to say, like, it felt they were a little fortunate to get to 52 points. Like, I felt like the entire game, Duke really had to hit tough shot after tough shot. Like, credit to Proctor. He hit a bunch of them in the second half to keep Tennessee from fully pulling away.
He kept them alive. He kept pulling them. Duke keeps pulling within five, within six. It's like, oh, man, at some point they're going to catch us here. But then Kumwa had a response every time.
Yeah, we were watching the game again at Craven Wings. Shout out to everyone who came by and hung out.
Great time.
Really, I believe it. Russ is setting it up to do it again Thursday, but maybe check with him on the drive or check your social medias, but I'm pretty sure that's what's happening. But like, I was feeling a little dumb because I'm sitting at a table full of people, and like, in the second half, Duke was shooting these shots, and I kept saying, yes, good defense, because they're all like contested two-point shots or floaters like against the bigs. I'm like, yes, we got to stop it. They would go in. I'm like, okay, well, damn it. Process over results. That was good defense. And, like, Proctor's just hitting one-leg fadeaways. Like, and you're just like, if he's going to keep hitting those, they can stay in the game. But like Cody said, every time they answered or pushed it close, Olivier Kumwa came down and said, I'm
not
going
today,
to score.
Devil.
You cannot stop me. I got the three-pointers working. I got the fadeaways working. I'm going to drive to the rim and get this putback dunk. It was as good of an offensive performance as the Tennessee's players had, you know, since Chris Lofton, when you look at the magnitude of the stakes.
Whoa, that's a statement.
And I don't know if Lofton ever came through in the tournament like
Whoa.
That.
Whoa, Winthrop.
Mean, yeah, that was a 15. I don't know what his overall stats were, but it was a 15 seed, and you had a lucky shot. I don't know, or not lucky shot, you were lucky to survive that game. It wasn't a lucky shot. I'm sure he's practiced that a million times, but yeah, I don't know what Lofton's, you know, final stats were in that game. I know at the moment when Kumwa was having that second half, it felt like, you know, something really, really special.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it did. And, you know, it makes me think, though, we're going to need that again. We're going to need somebody. If you're going to go through and win a natty, or at least we'll just say get to the Final Four, you're going to need a performance like that. Maybe not necessarily out of him, but out of somebody again.
Mm-hmm. No, yep. And the good news is, like, I do think Tennessee still has a couple guys who can pop off if need be. Like, I do still think there's a Josiah game lurking where he just, you know, randomly hits five threes.
It wasn't great in that game.
No, but I thought he was good in the second half. Like, I thought he came out early. He hit a three on, I want to say, your first possession. He hit a three. And then he also had a steal and, like, a little runner that he hits, like a little mid-range shot. And I thought both of those buckets were big. But, like, Josiah, we know his biggest factors aren't usually offensively. Like, his biggest contributions usually come in all the other stuff. Like, I'm going to pass the ball, I'm going to rebound, I'm going to play defense. So I still would grade Josiah's game as a solid, like, B+. I still thought he was really good out there. Was the offense there? No. But 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals,
a block.
He does
other
things. Yeah, I still think he's our Draymond Green. I've always said that. Like, you don't really want him to have to carry the scoring load. He can randomly give you 14, 15 points, but, you know, he's still lurking. I think Vescovi still has a game where he hits, you know, 20 points. Like, Vescovi's playing really, really well, and I thought he dominated the first half just with toughness. I thought it was a play that you won't really remember because the second half was full of other big plays, but, like, I thought it encapsulated the first half perfectly, that we were tougher, we wanted it more. Mm-hmm. Last possession, we miss a shot. Vescovi comes in from out of nowhere, grabs an offensive rebound. Shot clock turns off, he sets it up, and then you get a Jonas Adu finish off of a drive that Vescovi perfectly set up. Like, I thought that play there, to keep it from going back to a one-point game or a two-point game if Duke was able to score, you keep possession and you push it to 6, and that just gave you a completely different feeling. And the vibes, of course, at halftime, Tennessee felt a lot better than Duke did.
Oh, yeah.
Being up 6. So I thought that was a huge, huge play.
Yeah, 27-21 at the half. And then you finished them off, and really you really took care of business. I mean, really, it was pretty clear that you – I mean, obviously, physically, you were better, but it really, it looked like you were the better team on the floor and that you should have won. Well, I don't know when the moment was toward the end of the game. When did you think it was over?
I knew it was over.
I kept getting a little nervous when Duke kept cutting it to 5 or 6.
The moment I wasn't worried anymore – and I was confident, and you said, well, first I want to say, I want to address, you said, you know, Tennessee looked like the better team. Like, that's what I said before the tournament, was like, all year long they've been better. Like, I know we got caught up in, like, a 10-game stretch of Duke.
Well, yeah,
but, like,
they just hadn't lived up to it in a lot of the regular season games.
Right, like, the metrics still said Tennessee was better. I know
it was 96 Bulls.
It was kind of inexplicable to me that Duke, I mean, I understand public perception, but, man,
it's
like,
the name.
Duke going off as a 4-point favorite whenever the computers were saying Tennessee should be favored by 4.5 or 5, like, was kind of really disrespectful. And, of course, it played out where, wait, one team has beaten a bunch of top 10 teams this year and has played pretty good basketball, and the other's been in a pretty weak conference and has only really played well for the last 10 weeks, or 10 games, excuse me.
But they had Filipowski.
They did. And Filipowski, you know, wasn't ready for the moment. And
he was the prototypical Duke player. I mean, I was screaming in the first 5 minutes. I was so mad watching him.
Yeah. I wanted to tweet it out. I was thinking it, but I kept my thoughts to myself. But
F,
like
F. Filipowski.
No, I wasn't thinking that. But it was like I haven't watched Duke except for like two games this year. But man, all it took was 5 minutes for me to hate them. Yeah. Like J.J. Redick was back on the court.
Yeah, or Grayson Allen, yeah, or Christian Laettner, or any of these.
Grayson Allen, I was kind of checked out of college basketball, I feel like, at that time. But man, I used to hate the John Shire, Shire, Kyle Singler teams, or the J.J. Redick, you know, when they're at their peak, hateable. Like all it took was 5 minutes of watching Duke. But well, first TV time, I was like, you know what? Yep, I remember I hate these guys. Lose to them.
That's another cool thing about playing them is you kind of get the rest of the nation, at least most people,
right,
backing you. With, yep. Like, yep, we had UNC on our side. Yep. And
everyone hates Duke.
Everybody was singing Rocky Top.
Everyone's been raised to hate Duke, yep.
Yeah.
Except Davey Hudson.
When it comes to basketball, I mean, everybody hates Duke.
You asked the moment that I let my guard down and then I knew it was over. I would say it was the Kumwa putback slam that put us up.
Oh yeah, that was.
Or actually,
that
I was,
sweet.
Actually, no. I misspoke. Well, not misspoke, but I got my.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I didn't misspeak, but I got my order of events. I would say it was the pass to. I think Uros dropped a pass to come on the baseline, and he jammed it to go up 7, with about 3.5-4 minutes left. And I was like, "Yep, we got it now."
The slam, though, I know the one you're talking about. That it did almost feel like a dagger.
The putback, yeah, the putback was too. But again, there was one. I want to say, I think it was Uros got one in the high post, or like really in the middle, and then turned around, hit a bounce pass to Kumwa, and Kumwa had the baseline slam from the left baseline. The putback was on the right side, but he had the left side baseline jam. And at that point, you're like, "Yep, Tennessee is not going away here." That was with the 5:43 mark. Tennessee went up 7.
Best basketball win for us since SEC. Well, I guess SEC tournament championship was nice. Other than that, I mean, it's the best postseason win Barnes has had, isn't it?
At the time, you know, history didn't remember it because you lost, but like beating Kentucky in 2019 in the SEC semifinals when you came back from. When you came down from like 7 down with 3.5 minutes left.
That was a good one.
That one felt really, really good. And then you lost to Auburn. Beating A&M last year.
Though, that's not the big tournament.
Yeah, beating A&M last year in the SEC tournament, I would say, didn't move the needle for me. To me, like this
well,
goes.
Just winning it.
No. Yeah. I'm saying, but like if you're looking at it for one win, like beating Texas A&M, that, it kind of seemed like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah,
beating
that Kentucky team. They were on 4 days of. Bad legs.
Yeah, beating that Kentucky team the night before wouldn't compare to this. I would go all the way back to, you know, 2010, J.P. Prince. Blocking Evan Turner to get to the Elite Eight. Like, that, to me, this is the biggest win since then.
It felt like it. It felt like there were vibes.
Well, also, like,
were vibes.
It helps when you see Purdue go down.
Oh, yeah.
Was that Friday night they went down? Yeah. It helps when Purdue goes down. You're like, man, this we always talk about the path we had in 2018 when Loyola got us. This path looks pretty good, too, to get to your first Final Four. This path, it's right there for the taking, especially to get to the Elite Eight. Like, you're playing against a Florida Atlantic team that can ball. The metrics like them. You know, they've won a bunch of games. They only got 3 losses on the year.
I was a little – I watched that interview from the kid, the guard, John L. Davis, or whoever he was. He was their best player yesterday, and he's talking about feeding his family and all this. Yep. I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This guy's a dog.
I will say that when I was watching that game, to me it looked like – I think I said on Twitter it was just a – it looks like a really good high school state championship. Like, that's what it looked like to me. It was just watching a really good, like, state championship.
Oh, man.
They're not going to haunt me, whatever. You know, I'm not the one out there playing. I hope the team, you know, the team's got,
this
surely they got bigger goals.
Bulletin board material for these boys. They're going to say some guy on the radio in Knoxville called you a high school state championship.
Well, I hope that bulletin board, they eat it and it has magic beans in it and it makes them all about 6 inches taller and about 40 pounds heavier because they looked like a high school basketball team. They're going to have to go out there and hit 70% of their threes and like, if they miss any shots, like I don't think they're going to rebound. Like they were struggling against the worst rebounding team in the tournament against Fairleigh Dickinson. Like unless that bulletin board is going to make them sprout wings and grow, they're going to be outmatched physically. Now, that doesn't mean they can't win. Basketball is not always a physical game. But I looked at them and I'm not.
I don't like that kind of talk.
Afraid. Well, you've been scared all year. You're scared in football. You're scared in basketball. You pick Duke. Like, I don't really care what you think about this team because you don't really know anything about this team.
I was not scared in football.
Yeah, you were. All Alabama week. Go back and play the audio.
Well, you're playing Alabama.
I just hope we can keep it within 10.
We're playing Duke.
Alabama.
Teams have a reputation.
I'm scared of names.
Well, Coach K wasn't on those sidelines and Saban's a shell of himself.
That's true. We beat a team without their coach.
Well, no, they had their coach.
Same as Arkansas. They beat a team without their coach.
That damn Musselman. What a stud in the tournament.
He is good in the tournament.
The way they won that game, I mean, like, they were just down 10, 12 the whole second half, and all of a sudden you look up and it's a 3-point game and they got the ball.
Yeah.
I hate him. He looks like a little weasel with a bad attitude.
Yeah, but he's close to the point where you just pencil him in to at least the second weekend, no matter what his team is. I mean, if you can do it as an 8 seed, like, you could just pretty much do it any time.
That's what they used to say about Izzo. He got his boys back.
Yep.
That tournament glory, they're back in the second weekend.
Well, I had the stat, you know, that we had talked about heading into the tournament, where it was, you know, the 1 and 2 seeds that started the season unranked, and how, like, they've, you know, averaged basically 2 wins and have never made a Final Four. And we said we got 2 of them in our region, in Purdue and Marquette. And I guess there's a reason why that stat has been so good, because they finished with a combined, what, 1 win?
That's not the worst stat involving Purdue. Some are calling it the biggest train wreck in Ohio all year.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Oh, it's sweet. So sweet. Tennessee, it's been a while since they'd been in the Sweet 16. This team looks like the 96 Bulls. Part of the year. Looks like they might be your best team ever, and then they fell off a cliff. As we had talked about last week, February is the month that matters the least when you're trying to predict what you're going to do in the tournament, and that did bear some fruit, at least. It did seem to, you know, Tennessee looked a lot like they did early in the season. I put them on a neutral court against a good team, and they took care of business.
I would like to hear you last year and see what stat you had going into the tournament.
Yeah.
About what teams going into the tournament.
Yeah, I will say that this time last year, I don't know if I had any stats other than, like, you hope that the team that's hot. But, I mean, like, I do think going back to the last, like, decade of the tournament, like, we do have these all the time where just hot teams flame out early and cold teams get hot. I don't think there's any true rhyme or reason to a lot of this.
Right.
But, you know, I do think, like, everyone said, like, look at Purdue and Marquette. These teams don't traditionally fare well, and then they got bounced early. And, like, with Purdue, you saw it. Like, it's almost a testament – well, not a testament. It's almost an anomaly, or it's a surprise whenever I was watching them play. Like, really all, like, year, every time I turn on a game, I was like, how is this team 23-1? Like, it's like they got the big goofball down the middle, but everyone else on this team seems like they suck. Like, everyone else seems like they had a big goofball who was 7'4" and, you know, good – surrounded by a bunch of guards who looked like they should be playing in, you know, for a mid-major team somewhere. They didn't have D1 guards as far as I was concerned.
Purdue is lucky that there are not 17 seeds.
Well, that team basically was a 17 seed because Fairleigh Dickinson didn't even win their conference tournament. They got in on a technicality because the team that did win their conference tournament had only been in the, you know, D1 for less than 4 years. And you have to be a D1 team for 4 years before you are eligible. So they got in on a technicality. They didn't even win their conference tournament. They were a 17 seed.
It was statistically, I saw people saying, the biggest upset in the history of the tournament. But
they're like minus 4,500, I think, on the money line.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They definitely watched the Rutgers tape, too, where you could tell Purdue couldn't handle the press because of their guards.
Yeah.
And they just hounded those guards the whole game.
Well, I mean, that's something that stood out. And, like, you know, I got a boy that lives, you know, in Big Ten country that watches a lot of their games. And he'd been telling me that, you know, all last couple months. Like, these guys don't have guards. Like, if Tennessee plays them, our guards should be able to, like, overmatch them. And there's a part of me that wishes we were getting overmatched them on, you know, on Thursday night in the Sweet 16. But there's also a part of me that's glad we don't have to deal with that big goofball in the middle.
Take our chances against Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, yeah.
I was really hoping we'd get the 16 seed, but.
Yeah, me too.
You know, early on it looked like Florida Atlantic was going to run them out of the building, too. And then they got it together and they played a pretty good game against
them. Then they went on a 12-1 run. It looked like they're really about to do this. They're up like 5, and then Florida Atlantic comes back and answers. And
I mean, to have a full reset with an extra day to prepare for a 16 seed would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah, but, I mean, we would have smashed the 16 seed. I mean, we would have just physically overwhelmed them, and I don't think we would have gone 6 minutes without getting the ball in the paint like Purdue did inexplicably. And like Matt Painter is, you know, we talk about Rick Barnes being a choke artist, but like when the draws came out, there's nobody that's a bigger choker than Matt Painter. Like last year, he lost to St. Peter's. We make fun of Coach Cal. He lost to St. Peter's in the Sweet 16, having an extra week to prepare for him. Like, you know, having a full 4 or 5 days to prepare for that game. Purdue had a chance to go to the Elite Eight, and they got beat by St. Peter's. And then
Matt Painter has one of the worst postseason resumes in all sports.
Losing to a 15 seed and a 16 seed back-to-back years is pretty damn tough.
Not three straight years, isn't it? Hasn't he lost three straight years to
a double-digit seed? But I don't think it was quite as bad the year before. Maybe there, you could check.
He has lost in his 15 appearances in the NCAA tournament. He's got losses to an 11 seed, 12 seed, 13 seed, 15 seed, 16 seed.
Yeah.
The only bad one he's missing is a loss to a 14 seed.
He's praying next year that he doesn't draw a 3 seed.
I know.
Please don't give us a 3
seed. They're going to lose.
No. Yeah, he lost to North Texas in overtime in the 2021 tournament. So, yeah, a 13, 15, 16 have knocked him out 3 straight years.
Matt Painter joins Lute Olson and Tony Bennett as the only coaches to lose 3 times to a team seeded 13th or lower, and he did it in 3 straight years.
Yep. So, like, everyone made fun of Rick Barnes while they're like, hey, Purdue. And you're like, wait a second, what? Talk about somebody choking in March. Like, no one's done it more than Matt Painter.
No, Matt Painter is pretty bad in the tournament.
And Marquette was a scrappy, plucky 2-seed. Someone pointed out, or maybe we had gotten to it in discussing, I don't know, but the thought was in my head, like, Marquette was basically like Bruce's first team. You know, you come here, you overachieve, you get the 2-seed, you survive against Winthrop, and then you get dominated by a 7-seed. Like, that's kind of what happened to them yesterday, too. Like, they didn't have a 2-seed resume, or a 2-seed roster, I guess is what I should say. They weren't that good. So you wasn't scared of them.
Fairleigh Dickinson was rated 275th in the nation on KenPom.
Yeah.
Purdue was 8th.
Yeah. No, like, yeah, they were, I don't even know what the number was, like, spread-wise.
I have all these bookmarks about that Purdue game.
Do you know what Purdue was favored in that game? Because I know, like I said, I saw that someone tweeted out that Purdue was minus 4,500.
Oh, it was like, I think it was over
24,
20.
Maybe?
It was definitely over 20.
Yeah.
Because I had Fairleigh Dickinson as part of a parlay.
The rest of it hit?
No.
It was 23.5.
Okay. You know, when Virginia lost and got dominated by UMBC, they were less than a – I think they were fewer than 20 – favored by 20 points.
At least with, like, when Virginia – I think it's really a testament to how people don't like Purdue because – like, when Virginia lost, it seemed like a big deal. It was the first one ever, too.
Yeah.
So, that, you know, that matters. But then when Purdue lost, I didn't see that many people that were, like, shocked by it. It was just kind of like, Purdue, you know, underachievers.
Well, it was just more so like, I don't know, Virginia got their ass whipped, so maybe, like, people had already made up their mind, you know. It had basically 10 minutes where you're like, wow, they're really going to lose.
Purdue wasn't particularly close.
Yeah, well, that game was still somewhat close in the final minutes. Like, I remember watching the game, and, like, Purdue came back and got, like, a 5-point lead, and was like, ah, well, that'll be it. Good night. And then all of a sudden you look back up, and Fairleigh Dickinson has battled back. Like, they still had chances, I want to say down 2 with a minute left.
Mm-hmm.
And they just would not give Edie the ball. Like, I saw, like, over the last 6 minutes, like, he didn't shoot the ball. Every one of their shots they took were threes. And you're like, this seems dumb. This guy's a foot taller than their tallest player. Why not get him the ball?
All we got to do is get through a 9 seed.
You get to your second ever Elite Eight.
And we'll have a game set up against Michigan State or Kansas State, which will probably be a dogfight. Probably going to be a tough game against either one of them. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but if we can get through, just beat the 9 seed. It feels like you should at least be in the Elite Eight, and then we got a big game.
I know that you don't necessarily always care about these numbers and all of that, but like Tennessee is only it opened up as a 4.5-point favorite, but like the metrics and the people who track this say that Tennessee should be more like a 10-point favorite. the matchup wise, like Tennessee is basically a 10-point favorite in this game on Thursday. If you look right now over on FanDuel to reach the Final Four to win the region, Tennessee is the favorite at +120.
Yeah,
basically a coin flip proposition.
Coin flip.
Easy. Be careful.
You said it.
Well, I didn't do the accent.
You kind of started it.
No, I didn't.
You said coin flip.
It wasn't anything intentional.
Well, I was just repeating what you said.
Nah, you were doing it for different reasons. Be careful.
Don't plus, say coin flip.
+120 to make the Final Four and win the East region.
How about that? Who would have thought?
Well, I picked it.
Who would have picked to go to the championship? I called it, too.
I kept telling you all year this team was a top five team.
Yeah, I mean, we knew you were going to pick it.
Well, I mean, top five team, I was telling you that, and I was telling you not to panic.
They
and
call you Optimistic Oscar.
No one calls you that. Hey, people think I'm negative. I guess I was getting tweets about how I was negative and wanting Tennessee to lose.
We knew you were going to ride with these boys.
Well, yeah, I believe in top five teams. I believe
we
in.
We knew your back was going to be wet with Rick Barnes' water.
I believe in science. I believe in data.
Yeah, that's.
I don't get blinded by the. I don't get blinded by the little eye test or Duke going on a little win streak. I don't get blinded by that. Slumps happen.
Me neither.
And I believe I kept telling you that, like, we're not going to play on the road in March. You don't play on the road in March.
Really, none of your data matters, though. Really, it's just it's up to chance, basically.
Well, Duke,
most
not
of
as
the
good.
Time.
Tennessee would be favored against
every,
Duke.
Every game is a one-game situation. If we played that Duke game again and Kamwa didn't do what he
– I think we'd beat him 8 out of 10 times.
Well, I don't
on a neutral court.
I don't know. If Kamwa didn't do what he did, we could very well lose that game. Luckily, we didn't.
They
we
scored
won.
50 points.
We won. It's a one-game situation.
They scored 50 points.
Okay.
How are they going to get open? How are they going to get shots?
I don't know. I'm saying every game is an individual game. You know how the tournament is.
If in your other games, like, all of our defenders sprain their ankles, sure. But, like, they got little boys. We got grown men. We got a good defense.
I'm just saying, you know how the best defense. You know how the tournament is.
Yeah.
You think Fairleigh Dickinson beats Purdue?
No.
Most times? I mean,
no, I don't think so.
It's a one-game situation. Anything can happen.
We
were fortunate.
I'll always take the favorite, though.
We were fortunate to get some good officiating.
They
let us out-physical them.
I'll always take the
favorite. And now, I do worry now a little bit about, you know, you've seen this narrative going around it because the Florida Atlantic coach has already said it about how they're training with rugby and all this.
Yeah.
And you're seeing some people saying, well, does this mean that the officiating that is bound to be called in that way on Thursday?
Well, what they're failing to realize is that they're making Tennessee as a poster boy. So I do understand what you're asking. And like, are they going to overcompensate?
I'm worried.
You're always worried. You're so scared.
I have anxiety.
I'm so sick of all you Tennessee fans that are just always scared all the time.
I have anxiety.
I got Vol Battered syndrome. Keep
well,
your
I'm
cup
tired
on.
Of you pumping sunshine.
It's not pumping sunshine. It's just I'm just looking. I'm taking emotion out
you're
of
just
it.
Just as bad as the Negaballs.
I'm taking emotion
when
out of it.
You're right.
I'm taking emotion out of
you
it.
You like
and
to take your credit
no,
just like they do.
I'm taking emotion out of it.
I take emotion
no,
out of it.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
all, you, do. All you do is react to emotion. If Tennessee
no.
wins, they're great. If they lose, they suck. That's all you do.
That's not how
That's
I look
exactly
at
what you
it.
Do.
No, I don't.
When Tennessee loses, they're going
no,
home on the first weekend.
If you want to believe that that's what I believe, then that's fine. But that's not what I do.
But what I was going to say was, like, I know Tennessee's being made the poster boy, but, like, across all of the tournament, all other, I guess, what, 32 games? Or how many games have there been? 38, 48 maybe? Of all the other games, fouls are down. I want to say 3 fouls per game. Refs are just calling less fouls or fewer fouls. I can never do that when it's certain things. They're calling fewer fouls this tournament so far. Maybe because they have to hit their TV windows. They're like, hey, we can't have a 2.5-hour basketball games here because we can't keep people out here until midnight. So maybe let's speed the game up a little bit. But everyone's been allowed to play more physical. It's not just Tennessee. It's just that everybody in the national media spent all last week saying Duke was a Final Four team and that Tennessee was dead without Zakai Ziegler. And, like, you know, then whenever it doesn't go that way, it has to be some reason. And that reason has to be the refs are cheating. Because, yes, everyone – yes, you're right. College basketball, their Illuminati got together and said, you know what we really need? To knock out Duke, our blue blood, in favor of this Tennessee team who...
Here you go, belittling conspiracy theorists.
No, I'm saying...
patronizing.
Well, I'm just saying if you are thinking that the NCAA tournament and CBS and the tournament...
I bet you thought the election wasn't stolen either, don't you?
You know, I thought that, you know, maybe more votes should have been... drop for Biden is what I, was seeing. I saw that some of the recounts. I saw some of the recounts went even in his favor. That maybe that he got even more stolen.
Well, of course they did. They got to fill them out afterwards.
But yes. Well, conspiracy theories, with any conspiracy theory, I do think it's important to ask, who does this benefit? Is it logical? If you tell me, like,
the establishment.
Yes. Well, I understand, yes. So if you're telling
the
me that.
NCAA establishment.
Right, but if you're telling me, like, the election is stolen, yes. They want to get Trump out of power. They want the Democrats back, the socialists.
They want
whatever
the establishment.
Back. Ukraine war, COVID, who's getting paid? Big Pharma.
The same reason Bernie got screwed is the same reason Trump got screwed. They wanted the establishment back.
Okay,
and the NCAA's no better.
Well, I hear you. Yes. But who is the establishment in this scenario? Duke.
Mark Emmert.
Duke. But Duke is the...
I don't think he's even around
but
anymore.
But Duke. Duke would be the...
Yeah, Duke. Kansas.
Yes, those would be
Carolina,
the teams.
Kentucky.
Those would be the teams. Yes, those would be the teams
and all
benefiting.
Of those teams have one thing in common. They're no longer around.
Right. That's why the conspiracy
How
loses
that?
Me. Because they're
How about
not...
that?
They wouldn't be looking around saying, hey, we need Tennessee in this tournament. That's what this team... That's what this tournament needs. More goons and no star players.
How about that? Sweet 16... No Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, or North Carolina. How about that?
UCLA is still kicking, though.
Yeah, UCLA and Michigan State. Do you consider Michigan State a blue blood?
No. They're a tier below.
They teeter.
Yeah, they're a tier below for me.
Well, and they have green. They're not. There's no blue in their jerseys.
Yeah, but yeah.
Which is how I've always defined a blue blood.
It does help.
You got to have some blue in the jerseys.
But...
should call them blue jerseys.
UCLA's still kicking.
UCLA's still there, yeah. They are.
For another game until Gonzaga gets them out of here. But
John Wooden ain't around.
That's right.
Neither is Lou Alcindor.
That's what I would like to ask the national media bitching about Tennessee. Is like, you really think the NCAA said, like, hey, let's put the hit out on Duke in favor of Rick Barnes in Tennessee? Really? You think the refs were cheating for them? Really?
I am happy for Barnes.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know that, you know, that's his biggest criticism. And now I think to most of the people that criticize him for his postseason, it's icing on the cake. Now, can you go lose to a 9 seed in the Sweet 16?
He still has to make the Final Four.
The Final Four?
Yeah.
I think making the Elite Eight, everybody would be happy.
Nope. He still has to make the Final Four.
What do you think? People are going to be talking about how he can't get it done in the postseason?
Yep.
If he loses to Kansas State?
If he finishes his career with one Final Four... That's still bad.
Isn't it wild that it just comes down to two games for his whole legacy?
I mean, I'm not going to say like his whole legacy, like, but like he needs to make this Final Four. Like, no one's going to be like, well, you beat Duke, everything's fine. Like, if you lose to Florida Atlantic, all that goes out the window.
All of it.
If you lose to Florida Atlantic, Tennessee, I understand we say Sweet 16s are a success, but we also are fickle and we're also emotional, and losing to Florida Atlantic would be unacceptable. This team is talented.
Some of you people are.
This team, I don't even call them talented because I don't know how talented they are. But, like, this team is a really good mid-major team. They are 33-3. They got respect. You almost never see.
33 wins.
You almost never see small mid-major teams get to be a 9 seed. Like, they are solid.
This is a team that has done something we haven't this year.
What's that?
They won in Gainesville.
Okay.
Cool. They went down to Florida and beat the Gators.
Cool. We won just two games in Orlando, which is close enough to Gainesville. So
we didn't beat Florida in the O-Dome, though.
No, but you said we didn't win in Gainesville. I'm saying we won close enough. We won two games in
That's a good hour
Gainesville
and a half.
Adjacent.
2 hours from Gainesville.
Yeah, adjacent. Close enough.
That's a pretty good.
Close enough.
I just drove through there. I mean, it takes a while.
It's close enough. It's basically from here to Johnson City.
Beat Florida.
But if someone said East Tennessee, and it was like, Johnson City and Knoxville, that's close enough.
Yeah, but we didn't beat Florida.
So what? Who cares?
Just pointing out something they did on their schedule.
All right, good for them. No, they're 33-3.
They lost to Ole Miss.
But I don't look at them as a legitimate danger. So yes, like if Barnes loses this game, the goodwill goes out the window.
I think that's unfair.
It is what it is, man.
He beat Duke.
That's fine.
It's just Duke.
Coach K isn't on the sidelines anymore. He beat John Shire.
Well, I won't be looking at it that way. I'm viewing everything as icing on the cake now.
Well,
I'm happy.
When you spent the last month telling us we were going home on the first weekend, like you and Cam did, then yeah, like you should.
I'm happy. Whoa. What's the problem?
I atoned for my sins and said, you know what? This is the final, year.
At least I'm not changing my standard now. I said, I'm happy getting to the second weekend. Guess what? We're here. So if we lose, we lose. I'm happy.
Okay.
I'm happy with the program, and I like where we're at.
That's a good place to be. I think if Tennessee loses to FAU, that everyone will be very, very mad.
I'm so scared. They've won 33 games.
And you don't waste an opportunity like this to get to your second ever Elite Eight, and you don't waste a chance to be, like, again, the favorite to get to your first Final Four.
Bro, they beat Memphis. They're really good.
Memphis isn't good.
I don't know.
Memphis isn't good, and they were lucky to beat Memphis. It took Penny and the boys gagging all over themselves. But again, Florida Atlantic is a solid team. I don't want to act like there's some scrubs, but like Tennessee is better than them at everything. Except maybe 3-point shooting, but like I think Tennessee's guards are going to be able to like guard their guards. That Jordan Davis guy who was so good yesterday, like it's one thing to get into the lane against Fairleigh Dickinson. It's another thing to get into the lane against Tennessee's like five stars.
Don't underestimate willpower though. Guy's trying to feed his family.
I think maybe he just means like, hey, hit me up with some NIL opportunities and like I'll transfer to your school.
I'm just saying the guy's seen some adversities from Gary, Indiana.
That is true. I did see that. He does got some gumption about him. He does got some drive. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Hour one is in the book. Shout out to White Claw Hard Seltzer. My good luck White Claw at Craven Wings came in clutch. Drink White Claw on Thursday. Every day, but Thursday, we all need to have our good luck black cherry responsibly. Hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two of headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.